Good morning. I'd like to welcome everybody. We've got a number of visitors with us today. We are very glad to have you. We're glad that you took time out of your life to come and worship God with us. We feel very honored to be able to do that. We do have a couple of prayer requests in addition to just all the coughing and sputtering and that people... It's been lingering here. Many of us have been sick, but yet just gotta keep going. But a couple that we need to remember: Judy Shattuck is homesick. She texted Stacy the other day and was getting sick, and she's at home today. And Jeff Craig thanks the congregation for all the prayers that have gone up on behalf of his brother, Robbie. His heart surgery was successful, and he is home doing well, and he just appreciates the prayers. And let's go to God in prayer real quick on behalf of these, and then we'll get into our lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, we humbly come to you, thanking you for all the blessings that you give us. We ask that you please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, contrary to your word. Dear God, we ask that you be with those that are sick right now, that have been sick, getting better. Colds and flus are going around, and we ask for physical strength that we may continue to serve you. Dear God, we ask that you be with Judy at this time, who is so bad that she couldn't make it to worship today. Dear God, we rejoice in the fact that Jeff's brother Robbie's surgery was successful. We ask that you continue to give him a full recovery. We're thankful, God, for the time and the place that we live, that we have access to such good medical care and medicines where in a different era or even now, someplace else in the world, the results would be far different. Dear God, we ask that everything we've done and will do today in our worship to you is acceptable and pleasing to you, and that everything that has and will be done in spirit and in truth. Please forgive us for the things that we do wrong, and we pray everything through your son, Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to look today at kind of a simple concept. When I look at some of the lessons I bring, it looks like most of them are pretty simple. Some I can understand. But we're going to look at little things matter. And it really does. We've had, I keep thinking back to Preston's class earlier this year about the law and about how God has prescribed certain things all through his word that he wants people to do. He wanted the priest to be from the tribe of Levi. He wanted certain thread to be used. He wanted Noah to build the ark out of gopher wood and gave him the dimensions. Not a doubt in my mind. If different wood was used or different dimensions were used or if Noah did it in a way God didn't prescribe, it wouldn't have worked.
That's right.
There's no doubt number 84 is going to score the touchdown. Number 30 looks like he's even trying to stay on his feet. But if you notice 84's left foot, that much out of bounds. Little things do matter. And I want to not so much looking at doctrine, I want to look how we can matter. Little things we do, how it can matter in our life and other people's lives. One thing and this is not an exhaustive list. One thing, controlling our mouth. Sounds simple. Sounds simple. Not real easy to do. I'm seeing some smiles. I'm seeing some nudges. I'm seeing some shaking heads. So I think this applies to maybe more than just me, according to your body language.
Amen.
With our mouth, we teach. We teach the gospel. We encourage each other with our mouth. We make the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. That same confession that Peter made. The same confession that the Ethiopian eunuch made before he was baptized. The same confession we all make before we're baptized. But with that same mouth, we also can discourage others with our mouth. By maybe the slightest off thing that we say. Little things. With that mouth we can lie. With that mouth we can gossip. With that mouth we can give a bad first impression to others. And unfortunately, with our mouth, we can invalidate the good things that we do. We can do godly works for people. We can do good works. Works that God would be pleased with. That should impress somebody. But sometimes, by the way we conduct ourselves with our mouth, what they're hearing and what we're doing doesn't match up.
That's right.
And sometimes that can invalidate some of the things that we do. It doesn't mean that they weren't good works. But it doesn't have the same impression on somebody if our mouth doesn't match up. I'd like to look at a few verses. Proverbs 21, verse 23, we see whoever guards his mouth and tongue keeps his soul from troubles. That's straightforward right there. Guarding our mouth. Guarding our tongue. Nobody else can do it for us.
That's right.
That's something, talk about a control freak, you know. Nobody can control my mouth but me. Proverbs 15, verses 1 and 2. I think this was the verse Sam read earlier. A soft answer turns away wrath.
That's right.
But a harsh word stirs up anger. The tongue of the wise uses knowledge rightly. But the mouth of fools pours forth foolishness. Kind of that old saying, you reap what you sow. You reap what you say. In Proverbs 6, I'll tell you, this is a very straightforward, not a lot of wiggle room here. Not a lot of wiggle room. It says, these six things the Lord hates. Yes, seven are an abomination. That's some strong language right there. An abomination to the Lord God. A proud look. A lying tongue. Hands that shed innocent blood. A heart that devises wicked plans. Feet that are swift in running to evil. A false witness who speaks lies. And one who sows discord among the brethren.
Amen.
Of those seven things that are an abomination, three of them are done with the mouth. Some are physical actions, some are attitudes. But three are done with the mouth. James 1:26, James writes, if anyone among you, if anyone among you thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. You can believe all the right things, can teach all the right things. Kurt, where's Kurt? Could you turn down the heat a little bit? It's burning me up. We don't want our religion to be useless. Can you read? Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths. I've got some, Kurt, thank you. That they may obey us. And we turn their whole body. Mm-hmm. Look also at ships. Although they are large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature. And it is set on fire by hell. It's a scary passage right there.
Yes.
Goes on to say, for every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing.
Yes.
My brethren, these things ought not to be so. James hits it right on the head. With this same mouth, we bless God and we curse men. Mm-hmm. And it shouldn't be like that. Another thing we can all do, and Dick brought it up in his prayer today, we can encourage others. Very few people get the opportunity to deliver a lesson from the pulpit. Everybody can encourage others. Little things, a pat on the back, a thumbs up, a text, a card. I'm not gonna mention names. It makes my day when I get the mail and I get a card from somebody. Just that we're thinking about you, happy whatever. Mm-hmm. To get a text from somebody. It may be a short little text. They took the time. And what they're saying is, I'm thinking about you. You're on my mind. Everybody can do that. You look at the encouragement that Barnabas, in fact, Barnabas is called the son of encouragement.
That's right.
But you think of Barnabas, Timothy, Silas, Titus, all those, the encouragement they were to Paul. And the encouragement they were to others when Paul would send them places. You look at the women that ministered to Jesus. The women in the Bible have played such major roles, you know, of encouragement. You look at Lydia opening her home to Paul after he got out of prison. Genesis 4:9, we had a lesson about this a few months ago, talking about Cain and Abel. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where's Abel, your brother?" He said, "I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper?" And we answered that question in the lesson. Yes, we are our brother's keeper. We answer to each other. We encourage each other. As we're running that race of Christianity, when we see a brother stumbled along the wayside, we don't just run past them. See ya. We stop and we help them up.
Yes.
Encouragement. Proverbs 27:17, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Let me ask, are the people that you hang around, do they make you better? If not, might need to reevaluate. Is it a mutually building up relationship? Just something to think about. Hebrews 10, 24 and 25. You know, when you're on the ride, the roller coaster rides, and you're supposed to lift your feet up. Lift your feet up on this one because there might be some toes being stepped on. And let us consider one another. It doesn't say, let's everybody consider what you can do for me. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. It's hard to consider and to stir each other up when we're not together.
Amen.
That's the importance. God knew we need to be together.
That's right.
To worship Him, to encourage each other, to be encouraged by each other. It's important. Related, but a whole nother thing. Little things. How about just showing up? You have no idea what all it says just by showing up. You're saying, this is a priority to me.
Amen.
You're telling your neighbors. You're telling your family. You're telling, when Aunt Gertrude comes in from Des Moines, Iowa. I had to go to lunch with Aunt Gertrude. Bring Aunt Gertrude to church with you.
Amen.
And then go to lunch.
Amen.
Just showing up. What lesson is it you're giving your kids? Kids, on Sunday, our family, we go to church and worship God. Not unless something better comes along. Not unless we get a better offer. Not if we stayed up too late doing something Saturday night. Whoa, the kids needed their sleep. No. It says this is a priority. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew 25, he was teaching in a parable, and at the end of this parable, it says, his Lord said to him, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord." Amen. Don't we want to hear those words? Amen. Well done, good and faithful servant. I want to hear that someday.
Amen.
I want to hear that. Mm-hmm. You've been faithful over a few things. What does God, what responsibilities does God expect from us if we can't even show up? Little things, just showing up. The second part of the verse we looked at just a second ago, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And the Hebrew writer acknowledges, as is the manner of some. The Hebrew writer, I'm aware some of you do that. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together like some people do. And the last category I'd like to look at, and like I said, this is not an all-inclusive list of things that we can do as Christians, but give what you can. I'm not talking about money. Give what you can, your time. Mm-hmm. Some people can give their money, your abilities. It makes a difference for others when we give of ourselves, when we do something for somebody else. It definitely helps them.
Amen.
But it also helps us. 2 Corinthians, Paul writes to the Christians in Corinth, and he says, most of the time we equate this with the contribution. It means a lot more than just, think of this in terms of more than just money. But this I say to you, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So let each one give as he purposes in his heart. He's made a decision, not grudgingly, nor of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. When we do things, when we give our money, does the person coming around have to pry it out of your hand? They need a crowbar to pry your fingers off of that money? Or when we do something for somebody, do you know, Van, what I did the other day, and it took me 3 hours to help somebody, blah, blah, blah. Do you think that's going to help you at all? It says not grudgingly or of necessity. But God loves a cheerful giver. When we give of ourselves, when we give of our money, when we give of our talents, our time, whatever we give. In Galatians 6, verses 9 and 10, Paul wrote, "And let us not grow weary while doing good. For in due season, we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith." as we have opportunity. My guess is we have much more opportunities in our life than our eyes catch. Every one of us probably have opportunities that we sometimes overlook. We're running that race. The Christian has stumbled before us. And we have to step over him to keep running. Let's stop. Help him up. Had to actually jump over the person. Keep from falling myself. How about stopping? Help them up, dust them off. Let's get going. Seeing those opportunities are sometimes a challenge in themselves. Luke 6, Jesus says, "Give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together and running over will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." We covered this a few weeks ago in our Sunday morning Bible class. Jesus is giving them a warning. Take heed that you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. This is attitude here. Why do we do the things that we do? Are we doing it to please God and to help somebody? Or is it to be seen by men? If we ever ask ourselves and we think, oh, that's just something little, that doesn't have a big impact. I argue it does. Little things do matter. Tomorrow we celebrate Christmas. It's a secular holiday. We celebrate Jesus every day of the year. But we get together with family, friends. A lot of times we give gifts to each other. A lot of times some of the best gifts aren't the biggest boxes. Little things do matter. If you need to respond to the invitation through baptism, through prayer, through repentance, if you'd like to make South Valley your church home, whatever it is that we can help you with, please come forward while Kurt leads us in the invitation. Let's stand and sing.